Thank you, Becky Meyer.
Yes.
Thank you, Stu Tudman.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hollihan. You can hear your parties.
Yes, I need to add one more person.
Bob McDonough. Mr. McDonough?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to add him right away. I couldn't do it. We can only make changes up to 5 minutes before the call.
I understand that.
So I'm going to add him right now.
Okay.
I just wanted to get you started, and I'm going to add him immediately. And if you need any further assistance, we're located in the AT&T Western Region Teleconference Center. The number here is 1-800-232-1234, and the ID number for the call is WR14459.
George, I'm going to put you on hold for a second.
Okay.
Is that Becky?
Yeah.
I'm not acquainted with her.
She was on the other call.
Okay.
Becky Meyer, she's the vice chairperson of the Board of Trustees.
Oh, we got kids again. Kids, please change phones or something.
The members that worked
there, and the fellowship that they were representative of developed a test bond with the service structure, that the results of their work would be used in the same spirit and manner that the work was developed. And this must be, in my opinion, the foundation and the basis of this literature trust effort.
Roughly, I agree. This is
Paul talking. I agree. This is Dave talking. I mean, the fellowship and the people that wrote and participated in it are actually the authors and the owners. I think we got it switched around. I didn't send any input because, I got the minutes of the conference here. And it says to me that, the things that we had discussed in Harrisburg and at other times, and the promises that were made to Jim and Kathleen and Bo and myself and others that were present at the time were kind of like ignored. And, it's like you got the exclusive right to do whatever you want to do. As far as I'm concerned, it seems to me that that is your trust. And that the trust that I had that, you wouldn't ask for these things and you wouldn't do the things that you had done, you violated that trust.
I never said I wouldn't ask for it. I put it in the conference agenda report. That's not true, Dave. I told you I was going to ask for it. What I understand, Stu, what I remember was that you gave us your assurance that you would share that something was in process, and that after the process was completed, that you would ask for this and mention that in any request for it. And I thought you made yourself very clear and agree substantially with Dave.
What I agreed to was the fact that I would ask for this in lieu of sending out this document. And I agreed that this document was premature to distribute at the conference at that time. It needed to work. I instructed the conference that we'd be working on the document and would send it out.
This is Dave, and he said, she said.
Yeah, we have interest in time. Can we be sent the relevant documents on this? Because I'm blind to it. I
didn't get anything either.
What don't you have?
I didn't get anything.
I don't have any WSC minutes from 91.
Did anybody get the amplifications and the other materials that were supposed to be sent? Because I received nothing.
No, they just were done. They'll
be
coming in the next package.
So, just as an aside...
Well, wait a minute. Let's clear one thing here. I talked with Dave last night, and he's either settled outside or he's trying some admirable restraint, but he felt very offended and betrayed with whatever he found in the WSC motions in the minutes. So I think, and Stu, you're saying you don't think that you betrayed anything, that you kept perfect faith and trust, and I was never real clear on what it was David was asking assurance that you not do, but now he says you've done it. Can I get some paperwork on this so that I don't have to do that editing thing? I'll make it up or pretend it's so.
Yeah.
It's a little facetious. I mean, this takes a marvelous amount of time and attention to participate in something like this, and the idea that some of the participants would be not forthcoming with relevant information or events would be sort of it may be very shaky to me, because I'm not a waste of time, whatever happens.
Well, this is Dave, and, I feel like it's a, kind of a waste of time, and I do so because of my own personal intimate knowledge and understanding of the promises that were made
I said that I had fulfilled my end of the bargain completely 100%, and Stu, you said yes, and everybody was amazed that you had said yes. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, from what I understood in the court session, we were supposed to go from the court to the vote without any comment. That was not done.
No. The only comment that wasn't supposed to be taken was I wasn't supposed to put a prelude to the motions that went on the fellowship. That's what was indicated by the court.
Was there not a 3-hour discussion before the votes were taken at the conference? Was there not papers sent out 4 or 5 days before the conference to RSRs about was you know, I'm hitting you with 3 or 4 questions here. Was there not some, I have it, it's dated March 28th, for distribution, essay on the 4th and 9th tradition changes. I thought we had agreed that there would be no comment, period. End of story. And you know, if we're splitting hairs here.
Hey, the only thing that was sent out that had anything to do with those 3 motions was the issue of the roll call test. And that was ordered by the court. And that was done. That's it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it was done.
We said nothing, we publicized nothing, we did nothing.
So there wasn't 3 hours worth of discussion before the votes were taken at the conference?
At the conference, they gave our report.
And Terry Middlebrook gave her report, and all that information, which I saw nothing positive, not even in the WSO report, nothing positive at all.
Hey, those RSRs came out with a vote. There's no votes after the discussion. Those votes were taken by the respective fellowship. Those votes were taken back in their fellowship. They were not on the agenda report. They all came as a vote from their fellowship.
Well, then why was there a need for 3 hours worth of discussion before the votes?
We report every year. The discussion, there was no cross-discussion. There was questions and answers after the report, which they cut short and forces him to session. We went into session. I asked for a group of a committee of the whole, and they refused it and wanted to vote. They voted, and then they went into a committee of the whole after the vote. That's what came down. I mean, they...
Okay, a lot of us say, I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Stu, but
I'm sorry.
Need to move on from here. A lot of us weren't there. Several of us weren't there. And are operating, we're just really not positive what happened. The reports that we get are not consistent. They indicate that you betrayed the trust that we felt we had established. Now, I think that that's something that we must deal with. However, for us to deal with it, I don't have all the details and facts, and Dave seems to have a whole lot of it, and I think I know he does, but all of us aren't on the same page, and I don't think that we're going to make any progress towards dealing with it. Dave and I, and perhaps to a lesser degree, both think that this process that we're participating in right now may be of some value. I'm questioning the value from what I heard at the conference. However, I'd like to go ahead and go through the motions of it and see if we can affect some positive change. I think if we discuss this any further on this particular conference call, until I've had minutes from the conference, and Bill has too, and Dave and Bill and I and perhaps others had a chance to visit, and Billy has minutes and had a chance to visit with us too. We're just, you know, we're going to be spinning our wheels. There's no sense doing that. Let's go on to your agenda and deal with it, and the input and any other input that might come up, and deal with these things point by point, and see where we're going to go as a working group from here. If you guys, in fact, have snared us into something, deluded us, and broken trust, then I guess I'm not going to have to make amends for that. And if I do this work and it's all for naught, at least it's built character some. So, they didn't have a lot of time to build character, but I'm going to go ahead and do that. And if he'll tell us, we'll just...
The hell?
Yeah, he's in the... okay.
Okay.
I have one question before we proceed, okay?
Okay.
And I want to know, Harrisburg, Carl Dill was involved with this, right?
No.
No?
No.
He was involved sitting with the meeting with,
No.
Does he also send input into the office on this?
Okay. I talked to Carl this morning. I had not received any input as of this morning, and I have not received any fax input from him today.
Carl informed me that he mailed this here, and I know I received fax input from him. Okay?
Billy, I can only tell you what I've received here at the office. I talked to Carl this morning, and he said that he was going to fax the material.
Get a copy myself. I don't, you know.
Is it just interesting stuff, Billy? It has a lot to do with what we're doing, and I just feel, I talked to Paul 2 days ago. He informed me that he had mailed it, and I received my packet. It was not attached. And he faxed it to me that same day, and I received it. So I want to see it. And I just have a hard time with things that seem to get lost in the mail over the years, that's all. And if that's what's going on, I am going to have a lot of caution in anything that I do. And I will have distrust with what's happening. And I'll be real honest with that.
Everybody else? Is that everybody else?
Dave, and I, you know, I'm sitting here with the minutes to conference, you know, and I see all the motions, and I, you know, and you know, you tell me one thing, and 20 people that were there tell me another. The only way we're ever going to know what's right is if, you know, if you were to send the tapes of that day to all of us, so we could determine, you know, what in fact did actually occur at the conference. If you want me to trust you,
Well, just those 2 or 3 hours, I mean, that's a good bit of listening right there. We don't need the whole damn day.
Well, I would, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. I'm sure it spanned over 4 or 5 hours. I'm looking at the minutes and making that determination, so... Right. So...
We're looking at the conference.
The literature, WSO presentations, the motions, the votes, the committee of the whole, It's 8 hours,
well,
need to be at least
that. That thing was, that included seven motions, too.
So...
Oh, yeah, they, you know...
So if you could, you know, get those copied and send them out, then we would have a better idea of what the conference felt like and what they wanted. If you want to establish some, you know, want me to you know, at least modify my feelings of distrust, then, you know, that would go a long way, because I don't like to operate from a position where I've got no information. I don't like to, you know, make a mistake or get something wrong when I'm, you know, because it just, you know, I don't like to do that.
But
from what I'm looking at here and from what people have told me, and from the publications and things that people have sent me that came to them, and looking at the WSO report, I didn't have much faith to start with, and I put it all on, you know, I put all whatever remaining faith that I had in Narcotics Anonymous and the principles and you know, the trusting when we went to court, I put whatever I had left there. And so I don't have any left. And that's like real for me.
Well, let me try and put it into perspective for you, Dave, at least what I think. This trust document will supersede all previous decisions. The decisions that were made by this year's conference were temporary. If we find that those decisions no longer usable in the trust document. And that's how I tend to look at that and what was discussed at the conference. I understood Stu to make a commitment that he would not present the trust document, which will be the policy that is established when we get through the review period, hopefully, and the fellowship approves it. The decisions made by the conference are temporary in that respect, because we expect this trust document will supersede all that.
Well, it just... I mean, you know, it seems that the perception that the members that were together in Harrisburg and in the various other communications that you and I had personally, that, you know, that it's not, you know, you see things one way, and I know I see things another way, and I, you know, taking a straw poll down through the ranks of the people we got on the phone here, you know, you've got people on the phone here who have not been intimate to this stuff, but Alma and myself and Jim and Kathleen and Bo and his girlfriend that were in Harrisburg, you know, in that room with you, you were not looking. We all of us made agreements together. It felt like there was going to be something that could come out of this that we would all be happy and satisfied with, and there were three things, basic things, that were discussed at that time. One that was discussed was that we felt that at 3 months after the conference was when we should take and put out this trust document. That was one item. Second item was the idea of exclusivity and ownership of, you know, of the properties, where you would have the exclusive rights to ownership. Okay? That was going to be held in abeyance. The other thing was, if I remember correctly, that it's escaped me right at the moment. But you promised that you would not ask for those things and or the right to sue any group, area, region, and members until such time as we had developed the document. So we could avoid...
I do believe that approximately what he's saying is what we agreed to as group. However, I really don't think that we need to spend a lot of time right now going over that and salving up those wounds. If in fact, our impression of what you said was made in good faith by you. George's words that this trust document will supersede all previous decisions, including the temporary decision made at WSC 91, is enough for me to go ahead and not waste fellowship's money and time, and my time, any further trying to do this, trying to set this up, because I think it's a waste of time, but I may be wrong. I just need to feel that everyone involved here agrees with George's perception that what we're working on shall supersede anything that's been done previously. Now, that's what I thought. So, does everyone agree that what we're working on is something that can transcend all previous policy in this area and the areas attached to it?
Well, it seems to me that if it's a legal instrument that's executed, then that will, in fact, supersede even the decision of the conference. But the conference will have to ratify whatever it is that we end up coming up with, because we will, we'll not have any right to put something like that out without the fellowship. And I may be even going further to say that the fellowship as a whole has an opportunity to look at it. The other thing is, is if we talked about having a little budget, last time, so we could communicate with one another. I can't afford to communicate with anybody, frankly. And if we're going to proceed, I'm willing to proceed. Willing to proceed. I've given most of my input to Jim because Jim and I have a relationship where we understand each other, so I gave him most of the input that I had, and he factored that into his input. Is that not correct, Jim? So we've already done some initial work. I just think that our idea, and I would like to hear from the other people on this particular question, Roy and Billy and, Billy Eason and, and others. It's like, does corporate NA own our property or does the creators, being the fellowship, own our property? And, we're looking at the question here of whether the first literature document that you had sent us made the owners into beneficiaries, which, is kind of like screwy. I mean, you guys that get the budgets and the travel and the office and the this and the that, you guys are the beneficiaries of our work. So it's really the other way around. So I think we have a very intense tension between corporate NA and spiritual NA. We have to decide as a fellowship whether we are a corporate entity, and if so, go on with that, or whether we are a spiritual entity.
Well, you have a corporate entity because a corporate entity does certain things. behalf of the fellowship. Service. It doesn't, it only exists for the fellowship.
Well, I'm looking at it, you know, and we may argue over, you know, $2 million, but I'm looking at $20 million over the past 5 years, and I'm wondering what we got for it.
Well, you know, that's quality judgment. I mean, the issue is that it didn't exist for anything else other than services to the fellowship. You know, that's what it was intended to develop. Now, whether or not those services were good, bad, and different, is, you know, that's something that dealt with from a quality control situation, not from a...
Well, all of these things, and you know, I mean, Stu, I know what you believe, you know, and I think that we're just talking, you know, we could not be further apart, I don't think. But
what do you think, Stu, perhaps?
What I think he believes is, I think he believes that in order to have, you know, it's a business. It's efficiency. It's this, that, and the other thing. And if that's the case, I mean, efficient businesses and successful businesses run on spiritual principles, on good sound principle and good sound practice. And it, like it says in the 11th step, results count in recovery. But we haven't, you know, I haven't seen, you know, the results that one would expect for the amount of income that's passed through that office over the years. And the controversy that the surrounding and attendant controversial issues that have come as a result of perhaps, you know, me or, you know, this tension between philosophies. I mean, you know, do we want to carry the message to the addict that still suffers? Well, yeah, we do, but we only want to do that when, you know, when we can, you know, when we can do it with computers and you know, and maybe there's certain efficiency.
He believes.
Pardon?
In view of what you said, what do you say, Stan?
Well, you know, I believe that the business aspect to, you know, kind of development, and that's why you have corporate arm. Okay, I believe that corporate arm operates in that capacity, but I don't believe that the corporate arm is a beneficiary of the fellowship. I believe that actually the reverse. I believe that the corporate arm solely services the spiritual arm. It has no other function other than to protect, you know, pursue the aims of fellowship and narcotic development. It has no other meaning.
Well, don't you understand, though, that the reason we're on the phone is that there's been serious breaches of the fellowship trust and all of them. And as I said on the last phone call, that these are not mysterious will-o'-the-wisp, you know, variations on how people that live in different parts of the United States express themselves in English. I mean, severe disorders.
Yeah, but I believe we don't want that to happen again, or we don't hear assurances that that's not going to happen again because of what we're doing.
Well, that is why I'm participating in this, is in hopes that it will be curative of some of those disorders.
Well, I believe, similar to you, that there have been breaches. And I believe also that that aspect needs to be corrected, and there's a process of accountability. But I also believe that there's what is right for the fellowship and what is functional for the fellowship, and what is a responsible way to approach the affairs of the narcotic anonymous. And those things have to be looked at. You can't approach them irresponsibly and say in the name of spirituality.
Well, I got to say that this, you know, this dialogue here has really pointed up to me that we are on opposite, you know, ends of the spectrum in philosophy. You say that, you know, that the fellowship is, you know, is needs the corporate hit to function. And I know that in my recovery experience, that's not true. The other thing is, you know, if the corporate head were, you know, responsible and stuff, then we wouldn't have these problems. The other thing I must say is that, you know, we're talking, you know, this whole, not whole thing, but part of this is a result of, you know, somebody, you know, trying to put together a cheap book to, you know, to give to the members, you know, that are coming in. I mean, if our spiritual aims are that, then, you know, this shouldn't be a problem. But it appears that the corporate head needs, you know, I mean, Christ, you guys have been operating at a deficit for the past couple of years. You know, the prudent reserve is depleted, our sales are down. You know, all of these things tie in to something. And, you know, you look at the number of addicts that are out there in the world, there's no reason for us to be getting, you know, these diminished sorts of figures. So to me, it's indicative of some spiritual malaise.
Hey, everybody, this is Roy. I think what I'm hearing and realize that I'm just being brought in on this whole process here is that we really do have sort of a difference of philosophy opinion. I have to tend to agree, though, with Jim at this point, that we do have five things that were written down here. If we're gonna progress at all, then maybe someday we'll reach perfection, but let's go with progress for now. Maybe we ought to try to do what we can with these five issues here today. I have one question regarding number one off the bat. And that is the background statement. I either didn't get that or it's a part of this document and I just haven't been able to pick it out.
Your copy doesn't have it, Roy, and I apologize. Neither you nor Billy received the background statement.
I didn't receive anything either. That's what I'm trying to say.
You should have that, Dave, from what was sent to you before.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah, I didn't get the question answered. I mean, you know, that I asked about the philosophical differences and attention. I think Roy has gone somewhat to getting that answer, though.
Yes, the problem that I have and one of the reasons why that motivated me to pursue a trust act for articulate about it is that the corporate arm can never be the leading arm, okay? And what you've had over a number of years is a corporate arm being the leading arm. And you can't do that. The only way not to do that is to design instruments that land the other arm, orchestrate and direct the corporate arm that don't exist today.
Now, who's that, Roy or Stu?
That's Stu. So, that's what you have to do to get the other head in charge of the boat. You can't, the other one, the corporate arm, is always going to be so efficient, it's going to gobble up. And you need to have hoops that the corporate arm goes through to gain its direction and its latitude. Without it, it will just do it based on the personality. You got to take that shit out of there.
Well, Stu's got his trustee hat on now.
I can't really say that, Dave.
I think that the further we get away from issues and the closer that we get to philosophy, the less difference we're going to find between ourselves, and perhaps there really is something that we can do here. Perhaps the experiences that I've had in the past
don't make me more paranoid than I need to be right now. I really believe that we will illustrate both our differences and our similarities by attending to our agenda.
Alright. Okay, let's get back to the background statement. One of the reasons that I pulled that out, and it said that, that possibly Bo or someone else could possibly take this background statement and articulate another one that describes the background. And stand. So we have a comparable section. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to set the group down. Because if there's parts of this that are workable and other parts that aren't, that others can be added, we need some other work done. And I wasn't part of any of those literature committees, so
at the risk of monopolizing time, let me offer an introductory paragraph. During the years between 1978 and 1982, NA began the process of self-definition and maturity that would allow our fellowship to become a significant worldwide force for recovery from addiction. A relatively small group of people, ordinary recovering addicts, developed our fellowship's first significant item of property, a basic text, the book entitled Narcotics Anonymous. This collection of NA members worked as part of the literature subcommittee of the World Service Conference. The four major writing-editing literature conferences were located both centrally and at geographic extremes across the fellowship, so the maximum number of NA members could attend and participate. Every member who wanted to help write a book had the opportunity. The committee eventually numbered in the hundreds of active participating members. Each had a role and a voice in the content of our basic. During this time, the members and the fellowship of which they were representative developed a trust bond with the service structure that the results of their work would be used in the same spirit and manner it was developed. This is the basis and foundation of our literature trust document.
That's as good as it gets, I think.